For all of the young people. What's up, fam? And just so I'm not accused of speaking in tongues without a translation, for the rest of you, that means good morning, beloved. Welcome to PCC, where we're worshiping Jesus Christ, living out the Father's love, and transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I have a couple of announcements. Next week Father's Day, right? Yeah. So for Father's Day, we're going to be sharing special memories of father figures, and if you've got one, we'd love to have it on one of these pieces of paper. They're on the back table. They're also, I think, in your bulletin or in the covenant call, so you can drop one off and share a treasured memory. Also, Jason's going to be preaching through this book this summer. It is Mudhouse Sabbath, and it's a terrific book. We started reading that, and you can get one, you can sign up for one out here on the table. This is the last one left for now, but we'll get more. It's $15, I think. Elsie informs me that you can get it cheaper if you get it for your Kindle. So, you know, you can get it on Amazon or whatever. The other announcement I have is with Carlina. Could Carlina come? Oh, here you are. So I hear there's going to be a women's retreat or a women's gathering. Women's gathering. Well, how's that different from a retreat?
Are we on? Okay. The women's gathering is a one-day event as opposed to what they had done previously, going out of town for an overnight sort of for a retreat. So what we're going to do this time instead, and what we did last year, is it's a one-day event on a Saturday, and it's there's a lunch included, and actually it was a very nice lunch, very nice breakfast, not a breakfast, but more of a break, a treat in the morning. And it was just a beautiful day, really nice to get together and have fellowship. What I took away from it last year was I got to learn some things about people that I thought I knew, and then there were other stories about how they came to faith or just other stories about their lives that I was able to be a part of and listen to. So it was a really wonderful day to get together with the ladies of this church and other ladies maybe that don't attend this church, and just to get to know them a little bit better and fellowship.
I think you covered it all. So,
oh, okay.
You know,
a few of the things I'd like to mention is that what I love is that the women have always had a mission project every year where they've either collected food for the food pantry or items for our homeless that come here to our church. And this year they're actually doing Operation Christmas Child items, which is very close to my heart. So I love that they always have a giving spirit and, you know, try and give back. I also wanted to mention, like I said, it doesn't just have to be women that attend our church. As a matter of fact, I have a friend of mine, she's coming down from Arcadia that day, and she's going to be joining us. And I think it's just a wonderful opportunity to reach out to your other friends. Maybe they're not even a Christian, but you can invite them, and they can learn something and, again, have a lovely day of fellowshipping with other women. So there's the flyers that are out there at the table, and I think there's the flyer right there up on the screen. So it's Saturday, July 13th, 10 to 2. And a really nice lunch is included. There'll be music. So it's a wonderful event. It really is.
Terrific. Yeah. Invite everyone you can.
Yes.
No limit.
It's worth it.
All right. Thanks, Carlina.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give us our call to worship. Let's do it together, actually. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence. mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Like no other, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. Sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve. So good to me. I found no worth. You paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away.
Spoken, I am forgiven. The King. Moment for mission this morning is what I call the God story. 2 years ago, I started working in the office. It's supposed to be temporary 2 months. It's 2 years now. And we've always had an outreach to the homeless. We give sack lunches. And we had a few people. You know, there were days that we didn't have any people, but then some days we had two or three. But the need has grown. As you can tell on the streets, homelessness is growing. The recent count said that homelessness in Orange County increased 28% in the last 2 years. That also does not count what we call the food insecure. Those people who are keeping a roof over their heads but can't make food for their families, can't get food for their families all the time. So we're helping in that way. We have a need. We give, deacons give Stater Brothers grocery cards, $10. I never really thought too much about it, but one of the homeless men says, I so appreciate this because I can go to Stater Brothers when the deli closes at 7 o'clock and I can get fresh food at half price. So they can get a hot chicken or ribs or whatever they have or salads. So these are important. And I'm saying, you know, this is growing. The need is growing. But then I hear people saying, well, we're a little church. We can't do this. We can't be the solution. Well, we aren't the solution. We're part of the fix. Scripture says that the poor will be with us always. And so then somebody said, well, we can't give anymore because we might need it. Well, I'm hearing God say, trust me, give. I heard some sermons, not here, from a couple of ministers that I listen to on the TV who say, trust, give. And Tim Illick shared one of his new songs with me, and it said, trust and give. So I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, what are you telling me, God? Well, Scotty and Terry Yoon and Marcia Millar and I went to a Bible study at the Crossing on the Sermon on the Mount that a professor from Vanguard taught. And we were at a table with four other people from the Crossing, of which three of them have connections to this church in the past. Ask us about the stories there. But one of the ladies is the food connection at the Crossing for the homeless. And we're talking about what we do in our sack lunches. And Carlina Macy, who purchases all of the supplies for our sack lunches, had just told me that the little cans of pork and beans that we bought in November, that we got 24 cans for $21, are now 24 cans for $39. So we're looking at, okay, what are we going to be doing? And so we conversed about, you know, what we do. And then the study, the last study was on Matthew 7. Ask and it will be answered. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And when I went home from that night, I went, God, I'm feeling challenged by you. So I'm asking, is this what you want me to do? Is this what you want me to help lead this congregation in? Show me. The next day, I got a call from Roxanne at the crossing. I have lunches. Can you use them? And I said, sure. So she brought me 20 sack lunches and milk. And I'm going, okay, God, is this your sign? So that was on Thursday. On the Friday, I went to drop off some things at the soup kitchen. And I went in to say hello to the chef who I work with through our mission and outreach committee when we're giving things. And she said, I was going to call you. We have a church in Santa Ana that we used to give food to, but we can't depend on them to come pick it up. We have it all ready, and then they don't show up. Would you like the food? And I said, sure. So she said, come tomorrow. We have a farmer's market. Come at 2 o'clock, and we'll give you what we have. So I got down there. She had a flatbed dolly with that three of the big banana boxes on it. And I'm going, okay. And she said, do you guys need clothes? And I said, well, we could use some shirts and pants. And she says, well, come over here to the table and pick what you need. So I was picking things, and I turned around. They had filled the back of my van with banana boxes full of produce and bread and food. I mean, I had 16 of these in the back of my car. And as I'm talking to her, I turn around. Her volunteers have filled grocery bags or trash bags with clothes for us and put in the van. So I brought them over to the church and put them in the fireside room. And then on Monday morning, I called our liaison at Sonora School, and I said, we have fresh food. We had 30 families come in and pick up food that day. There was leftovers, and I was searching. I found the Lighthouse would take some of our food. And so I took the food down there. And then Roxanne has called me a couple times a week to say, I have lunches. She had a teacher at a school in Anaheim who brought the leftover lunches from the elementary school. And so we've been passing those out. We've been supplementing them with a few things from our lunch supplies. We've just had so many things happen, and I'm going, okay, God, you're telling me what it is. And then got more food from the soup kitchen, and then I had 10 boxes of bananas. And it's like, okay, we got rid of bananas, and I still had 3 boxes of bananas left, and plus a bunch of produce. The Lighthouse couldn't take it, and I'm going, what am I going to do with this? I don't want to throw it away. I happened to be talking to Sandy Corbett, our bookkeeper, and she says, oh, I have a friend whose fiance has a food distribution. I'll get you his number. So I called him. He has Hands of Mercy up in Santa Ana on Warner and Grand. And he said, sure, we'll take it. So I delivered it up there. And one of the neat things with them is he's connected with a farmer. So any food that's not usable goes to the farmer for animal food or compost. So nothing goes to waste. So we continue to receive this. And God is blessing us. One of the men in our AA group that meets here on Monday noon, he gives me money every couple of months so that I can buy 100 pairs of socks. Daryl and Klaus have given us shirts. You bring us blankets. We appreciate that. The people who come to our door appreciate that. We have, in May, over 100 times people came to our door looking for help. And they're saying, God bless you. We need this. We appreciate this. I answer the door, and there's a new person. They said, my friend said, come see Miss Nora. And I went, okay, my name's out there. So what I call this the God story. He spoke. He's leading us. We have something positive to give. We have families that we're helping sustain with food so they can keep their roof over their head. I have one man who works three jobs to keep his family and his home. And he comes and he said, do you have toothpaste? Do you have soap? Do you have shampoo and food? So the need is there. The need will continue to be there. But God is talking to us, and we thank him that we're here and that we can reach out and help these people. I never thought about a washcloth. Do you know how important a washcloth is to some people? They practically cry that there's a washcloth. I can buy 24 washcloths at Costco for $14, and they're nice big washcloths. I mean, we don't think about it. We have so much, and God is providing for people through us, and I thank you for that. And please, please, please pray for the people who come to our door.
Praise God. That is so special. Thank you. Praise God, right? Isn't that so incredible? So incredible. Well, I recently read a quote which reminds us of our need to confess our sin and remain confident of his promise for forgiveness. Until we taste the bitterness of our own misery, we will never relish the sweetness of God's mercy. Until we see how foul our sins have made us, we will never pay our tribute of praise to Christ for cleansing us. So please, let us join together as we read our prayer of confession, both printed on the screen and in your bulletin. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. People of God, we are assured of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. In the Message translation of Luke, Jesus says to his followers, the Messiah suffers and rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name through all the nations. So let's please stand for our grateful response.
Thank you. The anthem for today is called All Praise the Lord. And the second thing I wanted to ask you to join me in saying happy birthday to Dick Clark over there.
Pray real quick. Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit speak through me and listen and be the ears for these people, your precious children. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for all of them that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Is it warm? So, Jason's on vacation, so you get me this morning. But what if you got Jesus himself? What if he stood up here? And then what if he forgot about everybody else, but he came down here and he walked down the steps, right down the aisle, looking at you the whole time, walked straight up to you? How would he approach you? Would he be wagging his finger with disapproval? Or would he be running to you with open arms, excited to embrace you? There's a question I stole from Brennan Manning. Well, Courtney and Jason and I were at, we attended college briefing at Forest Home just a few years ago, I'm sure. And at that time, Brennan Manning opened, kind of unlocked that door for me to understand God's love a bit better. If your answer was that you thought God was disappointed in you, you wouldn't be alone. That's what the world thinks. That's what the enemy wants us to think. They don't understand Jesus' love or his mission while he was here or how God's plan really works. There's even a lot of people in the church, usually outside of churches for some reason, on corners or piers, who preach fire and brimstone. Even Jesus' disciples didn't get the total idea unlocked for them until after the crucifixion. Maybe not completely until Pentecost. Anyway, I'll say another thing that has helped unlock a lot of understanding for me is Bible study. So this portion of the sermon is brought to you by Bible studies. Do you know how you'll read a piece of scripture and it's the same one you read 3 years ago or 3 months ago, and it means something totally new? And that's just because the Word of God is alive and it's got something to say wherever you are in your life. The way Jason and I were trained to study the Bible, we get, you know, six people, maybe more, maybe less, around a table, and we read the scripture to each other and we reflect on it, and it says something different to each one of us, and we share that. And so all in one sitting, we unpack more of it. So I would recommend that. That's just my little commercial for Bible studies. We also get to know each other, and we pray for one another. And I'll give you a hint that an easy way to get Jason to spend time with you is say, I want to read the Bible with you. So that's been enjoyable for me for a lot of time. Last autumn, we were studying with some guys that were close to our age, and we came across 1 John 1:9, and it stuck out. They had a question about this. I wonder if did you learn that Bible verse in Sunday school or at VBS or something? Do you know it by memory? 1 John 1:9. Let's say it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the question the guys had was, why does it say God is just? If you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, you may get forgiven. But if you throw yourself on the justice of the court, well, you're probably going to have to pay for your crime. So why does it say that God is just to forgive us? This took me back to a previous study about God's covenant with Abraham. And I thought that would be topical for you, because some of you have asked me over the last year or two, why is this place called the Church of the Covenant? What does that mean, even? What's covenant? So, briefly, it's a promise or a contract that God made with his people throughout the years. Presbyterians look at, some Presbyterians, I'll say, look at the Bible and history through the framework of different covenant eras. And to give you some examples, the first covenant. The first covenant was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And God said, you guys can live here in paradise forever as long as you don't eat from this one tree. And that didn't work out for a long time. We're not even actually sure how long, but seemingly not long. And then God made the second covenant. The first one was is typically called the covenant of works. The second one is the covenant of grace, and that was just outside of Eden. And then the third covenant was the covenant God made with Noah, saying he would never again flood the whole earth. And he gave us the rainbow and made that the symbol of this covenant, that God wouldn't destroy the world. The fourth one is big and a bit crazy. In Genesis, God makes a covenant with Abraham. Well, at the time, he wasn't even Abraham yet. He was just Abram. The Apostle Paul in Romans likes to remind you that again and again, that, anyway. So so that I don't read you chapters and chapters, I'm just going to give you the background. Abram had participated in a battle, and his side won, and it was typical. If you won a battle, you could plunder. And Abram didn't go and plunder. And God said, I think that's pretty cool. You know what, Abram? I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your reward. So, he tells Abram, I want to make this an agreement, a covenant with you. You're going to have lots of descendants. You're going to have a personal blood heir, not just some dude who works for you. You and your wife will have a son, and in fact, your descendants are going to be plentiful. You're going to live a long life, and you're going to inherit the land. In Genesis 15, around verse 5, it says, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you could count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, But Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot and a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." This is the wondrous word of the Lord. What's with all those animals? That's kind of weird, right? Well, you see, In Abram's time, in that ancient place, they did not have a notary public, let alone a court. So when you wanted to have an agreement that was more than just a handshake, there were several different ways you could make agreements, but this is the biggest one. You make a blood covenant. You'll notice God didn't tell Abram what to do with the animals. He just said, "Bring them." Because Abram already knew. Everybody there in that time knew this is how you make a blood covenant. You dig a ditch. You cut some animals in half. Lay them on either side of the ditch. And the blood pools in the ditch. And the people who are making the agreement walk through the blood. It gets on their sandals and on their feet. It gets on the hem of their robe. And this was before they had tithe, so that's not coming out. This is going to remind them about their promise and that it means blood. When they made this covenant to one another, as they walked through, they said, "If I break our agreement, or my children break our agreement, you can do to me or to my children what we have done here to these animals." So it was a serious promise. Sorry. You'll also notice that Abram didn't walk through the blood. He was napping, apparently. And the scripture mentions a smoke pot and a flaming torch. A smoke pot was a piece of pottery that had a lid with a small hole. And it was for transporting fire. You could take a coal of fire, take a coal out of your fire and put it in this pot, put the lid on. It slowed down the burn, but let it keep burning just enough to stay alive. Smoke would rise out of the hole. Air would go into the hole to feed the fire a little bit. And you could take that to your next campsite and then take the coal out and start a new fire. In Scripture, oftentimes you'll see that God is represented by smoke and by fire. We just had Pentecost celebration here. That was terrific. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit descended on all of the disciples of Jesus and appeared as tongues of flame. Also, God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. And he led his people through the desert as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke by day. When God came and dwelt in the temple, it appeared as smoke. So what we've got here, Abram didn't sign the contract. God signed it twice. Later on, about seven chapters later, more than a decade later, by that time, Abram had been named Abraham because his covenant was growing and his faith in God was growing. And so God added to the covenant. And he had a son. He and his wife finally had a son. And God said, I want you to take that son and go up a mountain and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham, whose faith had started out shaky back in the days when he would try to pass off his wife as his sister, has such faith, amazingly, maybe more than anyone else has ever had. He says, okay, let's do it. Come on, kiddo. We're going up a mountain. In Genesis 22:7, Isaac said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they walked up the mountain, got set up, they built an altar, and Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son, but God called out and said, don't do that. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. This is the word of the Lord. I've just got a lot of scriptures. It's not that I like making you do that, but I do also kind of like it. This reminds me immediately of John 1:9. John the Baptist is out and baptizing people at the river. John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is also the word of the Lord. So back to the covenant. Abram didn't sign the contract. God signed it twice. God said, if I break this covenant, you can do to me what we've done to these animals. And then God signed again and said, if you break our agreement, you can do to me what we've done to these animals. And that's what we did on Good Friday. Israel had many opportunities All the children of God had many opportunities to live right and be holy and to be sanctified and make sacrifices. But they weren't perfect. Not even close. Sometimes they worshiped idols. Sometimes they lost the Ark of the Covenant. Sometimes their king coveted his neighbor's wife. We all mess up. We all fall short. We do things that the Apostle Paul called unprofitable. This often sets into motion a sequence of unpleasant events or consequences. Sometimes we think God had a great plan for the world, and I wrecked it. I guess that's when we're kind of wrapped up in ourselves, you know. It can feel like utter ruination. David probably felt like that. God does not immediately save us from our consequences, but he saves us from the distance that we put between him and ourselves. We learn to trust that God can redeem our bad choices. He composts them like manure so that he can grow something even more beautiful than we ever imagined in our own plans. And so that's amazing. After God redeems us and fixes things in our perspective, it might feel like, well, God had a great plan, and then I wrecked it. And he redeemed it. And then he had a new plan, and I messed that one up too. And then he got a newer plan to deal with my imperfections. And it might feel like God is, you know, past plan J, plan W, way beyond letters. But let me remind you, God always provides what God demands. Abram took a nap and God signed twice. Jesus being crucified and paying for our sins was plan A from the beginning. Forgiveness is absolutely assured. Jesus already paid for it. So, in preparing for this, I really thought, wow, it would be good to read all of Romans 4 and half of 5. You know what? Just the whole book of Romans is really good. So there's a shout out for book of Romans. I'm going to read you another scripture here. Romans 5, 9 and 10. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. This is the amazing word of the Lord. I don't know if you've seen a video like this, but we saw a video of people working at a drive-thru at a fast food place. And somebody pulls up to get their food, and they said, "It's already been paid for. The person in front of you paid for it." And the driver was so happy. But that cashier was pretty happy too. And then it happened again and again, and they just kept showing examples of this. And the worker at the restaurant was saying, "I've got the best job in the world on days like this. I get to just tell people their food is free." I want to encourage you that this is your job. There's a lot of people who think that God is out to get them and that he disapproves. But he's not just dying to pay for their sins. He already did it. It was the plan from the very beginning. All you have to do is to tell your neighbors, "This is all free. Your salvation is paid for. Forgiveness is free. It was the plan from the very beginning." Father God, thank you for your amazing gift of salvation. We couldn't earn it. We don't deserve it. And now we can't stop praising you about it. Thank you, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing about it.
Thank you. It's now time to receive our tithes and offerings. And before we do that, Steve, thank you for that message you gave today. Appreciate it. So we have lots to be thankful for and lots to give from what Nora said, from what Steve said, and let's just pray. Father God, we open our hearts to you right now with our tithes and our offerings. We thank you for the many gifts you bestow on us and the ways this congregation has served others through you. So let that continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite the ushers to come forward now.
Christ be magnified from the altar of my life.
Let's pray. Eternal God, we thank you for calling us by name. In you we live and move and grow. We pray for Christians throughout the world. Remind us of our common foundation in Christ. May we grow together in faith and in love until we attain that unity, which is your will. Send down your Spirit so that we may know Jesus in his fullness and bear witness to our life in unity in him. May we know the mind of Christ in order to speak God's wisdom everywhere. Strengthen us to work towards peace and reconciliation in the church and society. We pray for all churches which are experiencing change, growth, or struggle, reconciliation, or conflict. Inspire and strengthen them in works of witness and service. We pray for those who have no home, no food, no work, no medicine, no peace. May we recognize and serve Christ in the suffering and the needy. We give you thanks for this church and the many ways we service the needy. We pray for Edison, for the loss of his niece, Angelia, for Jane Carlisle, whose sister Pam went on hospice. We remember those in our church family that need our prayers. Theo, Natalie, Terry, Patty, Dick, Sandy, and Dusty. For Buzz and Keith and Gwen Starlet and their families. And we remember the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Lord, we thank you for all your gifts of creation. Teach us to share with others our time, our energy, our resources, and our love. Make us sensitive and responsive to the wounds in the human family and creation. May we give our whole life to Christ, for we belong to him, and in him are united all things on earth and in heaven. Now we pray together what Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our final hymn.
Thank you.
That's good. Let me give you a promise you can stand on. You're forgiven out of mercy, but also out of justice. God provided a relationship, a way to have a relationship with you that he wanted to have. Go this week and remember these things. And remember, it's your job to share this good news. It's the best job someone could want. Tell everybody it's free. May the Holy Spirit go with you. Speak through your mouths. May he comfort you. May he give you courage and strength. May he give you health and keep you healthy. Have a great week.